2 weeks ago, the death of the distinguished historian John Hope Franklin prompted reconsideration of his struggles against racism, his work, and his ideas, among them that African-American history should not be treated separately from American history.
I consider myself as a historian of the United States. And when I write about Black America, I write it as a corrective of the distortions of United States history.
John Hope Franklin published a seminal text on American history in 1947, worked on Brown versus Board, marched with Martin Luther King Jr., broke the color line at bastions of academe, and helped inspire a new generation of scholars, among them Henry Louis Gates Jr., who joins us in just a moment. If you have a story about how Franklin's life and work affected you, give us a call, 800-989-8255, or email us talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation at our website, npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Henry Louis Gates Jr. is the director of the W.E.B. Du Bois Institute for African and African-American Research at Harvard. He wrote a tribute to John Hope Franklin last week for TheRoot.com and joins us now from member station WBUR in Boston. Nice to have you back on the program.
Hey, Neil. How are you doing?
I'm well, thanks. There's a story you wrote about hitchhiking across Africa when you were 20 years old, carrying just three books, Don Quixote, Moby Dick, and
From Slavery to Freedom, A History of Negro Americans, the third edition. In fact, Neil, I brought it with me to the studio. This was the text that was assigned to our survey course in African-American history taught at Yale, where I was an undergraduate, between 1969 and 1970. And it was the time of the Wild West Revolution, if you remember.
Sure.
That spring ended with the great May Day strike. And in New Haven, we struck in mid-April because Bobby Seale and other Black Panthers were on trial, and we didn't think they could get a fair trial. Well, the course was taught by a great historian, William McFeely, who happens to be white. Subsequently, he got the Pulitzer Prize. And all the Black kids at Yale, not like there were so many, but we all took this class. And at the end of each of this man's brilliant lectures, somebody Black would stand up at the back and say, yeah, all that's interesting, but when are you going to get a Black man to teach this course? And McFeely had the patience of Job. And he would say, you're absolutely right, but I'd like to remind you that the textbook that we are using, From Slavery to Freedom, was written not only by an African-American man, but by an African-American man who took the PhD in history from Harvard. And we were mightily impressed with that. So at the end of my sophomore year, Yale had a program called 5-Year BA, and I was selected. And I went to Africa and worked in a mission hospital. And then with a white guy who had just graduated from Harvard, Lawrence Biddle Weeks, I hitchhiked across the equator. And I read each of those three books, but most deliciously, I read From Slavery to Freedom while sailing down the Congo River from Kisangani to Kinshasa. And I read it cover to cover, and I always kept a copy of that particular edition, which is the black and white paperback edition from 1967, by my bedside. And it sits by my bedside still.
It's not the same exact copy, though, is it?
It's not the same copy. Somehow, in one of my moves, my copy got lost. And 2 years ago, some people at Butler University contacted me and said that they would like, 2 years ago this month, April, said they would like me to do a dialogue with John Hope Franklin. And I said, under two conditions, I'll do it. If there's no time limit, and if I am interviewing John Hope. And they said, deal. And we had, Neil, two glorious hours in front of a packed house, a closed auditorium on the campus of Butler. And I asked him everything I'd always wanted to ask him. And he was such a great storyteller. And afterwards, we had this splendid meal, and I told him the story of reading his book, Cover to Cover, Hitchhiking Across the African Continent, and I told him that my favorite edition was the black and white edition, but I had lost it. And he just nodded, and a couple days later, by FedEx, came this package from Durham, North Carolina, and I opened it, and it was this very copy that I'm holding in my hand of that very edition, dedicated to Henry Louis Gates, Jr., with affectionate best wishes from John Hope Franklin. And I don't think I've ever received a gift, certainly not a book, that I value more. You know, the significant thing about John Hope is that he not only integrated the history department at Brooklyn College, 1956, front page of the New York Times when he was appointed as chair, and then in 1964, the history department at the University of Chicago, and then went on 1982 to become the first black person to hold an endowed professorship at Duke. But he really, Neil, integrated the narrative of American history. The other night when I was writing the essay that you cited on The Root, I went back to read all of his various prefaces to the additions to From Slavery to Freedom. And listen to this. This is written in 1947. I have made a conscious effort to write the history of the Negro in America with due regard for the forces at work which have affected his development. This has involved a continuous recognition of the mainstream of American history and the relationship of the Negro to it. It has been necessary, therefore, to a considerable extent, to retell the story of the evolution of the people of the United States in order to place the Negro in its proper relationship and perspective. It would have been impossible to trace the history of the Negro in America without remaining sensitive to the main currents in the emergence of American civilization. Hmm. So you see, John Hope was waging his own civil rights struggle. He was, and the stakes were enormous, to integrate the narrative of American history by creating a synthetic yet popular account of African American history in this country, which could then become a textbook, so that when Cornel West studied Introduction to African American History when he was a student at Harvard, when I studied it the year before at Yale, when our whole generation, no matter where we were, you could think of all the black intellectuals that you know, Neil, we all were students of From Slavery to Freedom, and therefore, in a sense, we are truly the godchildren of the great John Hope Franklin.
Let's get a caller on the line. This is Ann, and Ann's calling us from Akron, Ohio.
Hello.
Hi, Ann. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. The work that John Hope Franklin did in integrating that history was so important, and what I'm seeing with my third grader now is that it seems that it's being segregated again, that the black history and American history as a whole seems to be being separated. Is there some comment to that as to what could be done to reintegrate that?
Well, it's the strength and weakness of Black History Month, for example. That if it's great to have February is Black History Month, just like March is Women's History Month, but if February is only Black History Month, or if the only time you could study black history is February, then we're in trouble. I believe, as a person with a joint appointment, I've always had a joint appointment in a traditional department. My PhD is in English and in a department or program of African American studies. I think that we have we must take a two-pronged attack. We have to integrate, as John Hope did, the narrative of American history, American studies, whether it's American literature, American history, whatever. But also we need to teach independent courses on the history of African Americans. We have to do both things. If we only do one, we've only achieved half of our goal.
Can that be done on an elementary level?
I've never taught elementary school. But I have two daughters who are 29, 27, and I followed their primary school education with enormous interest and fascination, just as I'm sure, you know, you do.
Right.
I think it would be much harder to have a separate course in the third grade on African-American history, given all the basic things that you have to learn. But I would like to see every student in America, by the time they graduate, have at least a semester's course in African-American history. There are just too many facts for all those facts meaningfully to be taught in even the best survey of American history. So I'd like our students don't even know about American history, let alone African-American history, come to think of it. But I think we need to reintroduce strong courses in American history and a strong course in African-American history all over the public school system in the United States.
And thanks very much.
Thank you for the answer.
This email from Samantha in New Orleans. I was a black sociology student in a mostly white school in a mostly white department, and on the wall of the department was a gallery of photos of sociologists, and there sat the lone black face, John Hope Franklin. He was being acquired by the discipline of sociology, and I felt a lot better knowing that there was at least one other black sociologist out there. And as you say, Skip, his influence is just hard to avoid.
You know, if John Hope were here, he'd say, thank you very much. He wouldn't mind. But you know, John Hope is one of the gods of African-American history. And I don't say this just because I'm a professor at Harvard, but Harvard has played a very curious role in the institutionalization of African-American history. The first black person to get a PhD from Harvard was the great W.E.B. Du Bois in 1895. It was in history. The second was Carter G. Woodson in 1912. Carter G. Woodson is the father of, many say, the father of African-American history because he invented Negro History Week in 1926, which, of course, is now African-American History Month. He was followed by Charles Harris Wesley in 1925, another African-American, PhD in Harvard. Rayford W. Logan in 1936, and the fifth of these towering intellects was John Hope Franklin in 1941, and all but Du Bois went back at some point in their career and taught in the history department at Howard, and they all taught African-American history. And curiously, too, John Hope was the only one who went directly from an historically black college, Fisk University in John Hope's case, directly into the graduate school in history at Harvard. All the others had some sort of post-BA experience, even Du Bois, who had to get a second BA at Harvard after he graduated from Fisk and then went to the University of Berlin for 2 years.
And I have to interrupt there to say that if you'd like to read more about John Hope Franklin's difficult relationship with Harvard on this question, you should read Henry Louis Gates' piece, which was on theroot.com. You can find a link to it at our website at npr.org/talk. And Henry Louis Gates, Jr., thank you as always.
Thank you, my friend.
And he joined us today from the studios of member station WBUR in Boston. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.